Beer is sponsored by the Sugar Family in honor of the birth of a grandson, Menachem Mendel Rosenberg Shehesham Nachas, from his grandson and all the grandchildren and children. We're going to finish our mini-series on Simanim tonight. Just to review what we've had until now. The first time we discussed the whole concept of Simanim, that there's three types of Simanim. There's a Simen Muvhak, there's a unique Simen which proves beyond the shadow of a doubt that this item belongs to a person. The mashal we said was a hole in a letter, in a document, and Gemara talks about even if it's a get, where it would be concerning Isser v'Heter, who would be concerning Yisurin. That type of simen muvhak works across the board at, for the Raisa halachas, for the Rabbanan halachas, it works for anything. Okay, so that's the simen muvhak. The other extreme is a simen garua, something that's not a simen at all. To say what color, it's a black hat, it's a white shirt, or even to say what size shirt it is, size 15, or to say it's Van Dusen, or to say it's made in China. That's not even a simen at all. And even a combination, in most cases, will not be a simen unless you have such a strong combination, so then maybe that would make it uniquely, or at least not common. Right? You say it's a pink shirt made in China, and then, you know, some different size 24, you know, very unusual, so then maybe that will make it into a simen. Most of the simanim we're talking about are the simanim in between. They're not unique, but they're not very common. A simen that is in between. So those are the types of simanim which the chachamim, where misakeh, will work for hashavas aveda, because we assume most people would want their object returned, even though there is the possibility that they might lose it. Because if they don't, if it doesn't work, they for sure won't retrieve it. So that's what Gemara says, it's worth them keeping their wealth, worth having that simen be good enough to return the object. So then we discussed these types of simanim. The first we discussed was a simen in the object itself, a simen de gufo. We talked about a flaw in a diamond. We talked about a serial number on a dollar bill. Right, so really, that any simen that's in the object itself, that's a good simen. Unless we said the serial numbers are something people don't notice, so that wouldn't be a simen. The flaw would have to be a flaw where it's unusual. Otherwise, that also wouldn't be a simen. But that's the first type of simen, a simen in the object itself, that you could describe what the object looks like with a certain amount of accuracy, that it won't be size 15. It's something that you're saying that pretty much limits you to the owner or other people. It doesn't make it unique. It's not a simen luvah, but it's a simen that makes it partially yours. We're partially comfortable in assuming that it's yours. That was a simen in the object itself, describing the object itself. The case we talked about would be like a crack in the coin. A crack in the coin, according to the Rama, we said, that's not a simen muvhak unless you say what letter the crack is on. But a cracked coin is unusual enough to say that if I lost the coin with a crack in it, so that's, that would be a valid simen. Except for the problem that the Shulchan Aruch says that you spend money, it could be that wouldn't be a simen at all. But that was an example we gave of a simen in the object itself, a crack in that coin. Last week we spoke about a simen counting if you know the weight, the measure, and once again a measure that's not so common, a weight that's not so common. You say you lost a 5-pound bag of potatoes. That's not going to be a simen. That's what most potatoes are. Or what we spoke about in greater detail last week was the number. If you lost a certain number of objects, there also that will be a good simen for retrieving your aveda. And if you find an aveda that has no other simen other than that there's more than one there, you have to announce it. We talked about is two really a simen or not. We said according to many Rishonim, if not most, it seems like it was only a matter of semantics why two won't be a good simen, because as soon as you say you found shirts, you found something plural, the person will assume that it's two. So if you find a way of announcing without giving away, or you say you found clothing, you found money, so then it could be that two, even two would be a good enough simen. But we did say there are other factors you have to make sure is that you found something that the owner had placed down and forgotten, not something that had fallen out of his pocket. If it fell out of his pocket, so then he doesn't know how many he lost in each place. A minyan cannot be a siman. It had to be something that was placed by coins. We said it had to be stacked like a tower, and it has to be at least three, unless you find some literary way of announcing it without saying it in plural. We did speak out according to the Sma. Two is never a siman, it seems, according to him. You need to always have three according to the Sma. This week we're going to talk about the last factor, and that is, if there's no siman in the object itself, the number's not a siman, and is the weight's not common, the size is the weight's common, the size is common. But how about where you find it? And we'll talk about a telephone booth. If you find an object in a telephone booth that does not have a siman, we'll talk about money, we'll talk about a telephone card, we'll talk about a shirt again. Are you required to claim it, to announce it, so that the owner, the loser, can claim it by saying, yes, I lost a shirt and it was in a telephone booth, I lost my money was in a telephone booth, I lost my telephone card and it was in the telephone booth? Like, that's the question. Okay, so it's really two sugyas, and it should be simpler than minyan. Now the Gemara is talking about a machlokas Rav and Rabbah about a siman. That's a siman in the object itself, but it's a siman that could be trampled on. Is that a good siman or not? So we're not going to deal with that issue. We're going to deal with just the end of the sugya, which ends up talking about makom. So Gemara says Rav mitaris latamei b'makom. Rav says that the brisa that we're going to see soon, what the brisa says, is talking about makom being a siman. And the brisa goes like this. Krichas b'shus harabim. If you find small sheaves of grain in a b'shus harabim, harei eihu shelo, you're allowed to keep them. The brisa continued. The brisa, I don't have it in order over here, but the brisa says, if you find it in a b'shus harabim, you're allowed to keep it. In a b'shus hayochid, you have to announce it. If you find ulamas, if you find big stacks of grain, large sheaves, so then whether it's in a b'shus harabim, you found it, or in a b'shus hayochid, you have to announce it. So Rava explains that these halachas based on makom being a siman. So if you find it in a b'shus harabim, small sheaves, so then you're allowed to keep it. Why don't we say announce where you found it, and that should be a siman? That's because the min nashtifa, that's because small sheaves get moved around by people as they're walking by, animals walking by in the b'shus harabim, they could kick this object. And how's Malkin going to be a siman? Because as soon as he dropped it on Rice's Down Road, but by the time the person found it, it could be Park Heights Avenue already. Right? The Malkin can't be a siman by something that can be kicked around. It's like Rishus.
The
Veda's
kicked around.
Huh? The Veda itself. The Veda's kicked around, right? Rishus Hayochid. But if you find it in a private area where people don't walk so much, so then you have to announce it. Why? Because over there, this small object, even though it's small, won't get moved around because not many people walk there. It's private property. And therefore, you should announce it that you have found a sheep, even though a sheep has no siman, but the owner can claim it by saying, you found it in Ruvain's backyard. V'halumas, if you find large sheaves, which are heavy, so then bein b'shus harabim, bein b'shus hayachid, whether you found it in a public area or in a private area, notel machris, then you have to announce it, because kein diakira, since they're heavy, lo minashtifa, they don't get moved about, even if they're in the street, because it's a big object and people won't kick it. It's heavy, even if they kick it, it won't move. So that's why if it's a big object, even if you find it in a b'shus harabim, you have to announce it, right? So the Gemara, the poskim do paskin like Rava that makom is a siman, and that's the way Shulchan Aruch paskins that makom is a siman. Now the first issue we have to deal with is how do you define makom? Right? What's called a place? we said if it's not moving around, so then you have to announce it, because the makom will be a sin. But how wide a definition is makom? You know, I lost it in Baltimore. Is that a sin? Or I lost it in Northwest Baltimore. I lost it in Pikesville. I lost it in Park Heights. I lost it on Park Heights Avenue. I lost it on Shelwood Road. Like, where do you draw the line? Like, what's called a siman? From this Gemara, you should have a raya. I'm surprised no one talks about this until Rav Moshe did, in Dibros Moshe. He says, look at the Gemara. The Gemara says, if you find it in the Rishus HaRabim, you could keep it because they get kicked around. In the Rishus HaYachin, you have to announce it because they don't get kicked around. What happens if they did get kicked around in the Rishus HaYachin? Right? Why don't we say, if you find it in the Rishus HaRabim, it's not a simon because they kicked around, and it could have gone from one street, one end of town to the next end of town. But if it's in the Rishus HaYachin, even if dogs and animals and people go kick it around, but at least it remains in Reuven's yard, so you can still claim that I lost my object, I lost my coat in Reuven's backyard. But since the Gemara has to say, well, if it's in the Rishus HaYachin, it won't get kicked around, it's mashma, it's not enough to say that you lost it in Reuven's backyard. You have to say you lost it in Reuven's backyard in the northwest corner, or next to the swing set. You have to pinpoint where you had it, otherwise the Gemara doesn't make sense. That's what Moshe says at first. Moshe himself says maybe that's not so pashut, a diyuk, because maybe what the Gemara means is, if it's in the Rishus HaRabim, so if it gets kicked around in Rishus HaRabim, so then it's certainly no good because it could go anywhere. If it will get kicked around in Rishus HaYachin, also it's no good because maybe it got, you find it in Rishus HaYachin, maybe it got kicked from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachin, maybe it didn't start off in Reuven's backyard, maybe it was in Shimon's yard and it got kicked into Reuven's yard. Right, so Rav Moshe says it could be, it's no raya from there. He says it's more mistabri rather than say that the Gemara is talking in all cases, even if the yard has a fence around it, and still the Gemara says it has to be where it doesn't get kicked around. So he says tarchin at the end, but he seems to imply that it would have to be, you have to pinpoint the spot where it is based on this Gemara. He therefore says if you lost something in a bus, someone found the coat, and you say, yes, I lost it in the bus. And I tell you, what seat was it in? Where were you sitting? And if you don't remember, so based on this Shiloh, that won't be a good enough sin that you lost it on the bus. We know you lost it on the bus. But where were you sitting to prove that it's yours? So for Malcolm to be a sin, you have to be more, exact. The later postman, they say Ramosh himself was Sarki, and so they asked Gedoli Ha'ra, Mishpat Aveda, which is Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv says it all depends on the circumstance. And Rabbi Yashiv, this is the way they quote him, holds that if you say you lost it on a bus, you lost it on a train, that's good enough. Because that's a limited area. You're giving a defined area where you lost it, and that's good enough. And we'll learn the Gemara the way Rav Moshe says, is that the reason you can't have it kicking around in the Rishus HaYachin is because it might be gone from one Rishus HaYachin to another. It might not be in that defined area anymore. So he concludes it all depends on Kol Pi HaInyan. You have to see the circumstance. And if it's defined enough, so that counts. They bring from the Taz. The Taz says that if you pinpoint if you actually pinpoint to the Dalet Amos, the exact place where it was, that's called a Siman Muvah. That even works for Isser V'Hetzer, the Taz says in Eben HaEzer. So, and there the Gemara has no Shiloh where the Malkim is a Siman. Because certainly a pinpointed Malkim, that's a Siman. Our whole Sugi is only talking where you can't pinpoint it exactly. You don't know exactly where it is. So, in that case, we have a Machlok. So, if we pass it, then Malkim is a Siman. So, it must be that that's a Siman, even though you didn't pinpoint it. An example of this Mitzvah HaShavah gives is to say on the street, right? You lost it in the street. Where'd you lose it in the street? So he says, an example in Borough Park, you say, you can say, I lost it on 45th Street between 14th and 15th Avenue. That's good enough. Because you're giving a general area where you lost it. And the Torah Sevedah says, even if you say more exact, then he really found it a little further away, a different place. You say you found it, you lost it by the, you know, this bakery, and he found it by the butcher a few stores away. That also will count, because things do move around a little bit. And as long as you're giving the general area, not too wide an area, you can't say you lost it in the borough park, you have to say the street. You can't say I lost it on 13th Avenue, you have to say where. But you have, use your common sense, so that's called a makom. That seems to be the consensus of the poskim. Maybe even Rav Moshe agrees with that. But just to define what the makom is, if you pinpoint it to that, everyone would seem to say that's, the Torah says that's on Siman Muvah. If you say exactly where it is, you know, what inch it was on. If it's too general, so then no one will hold that a makom to say you lost it in Baltimore, you lost it in Maryland, you lost it in the United States, you lost it in the world. Right? There's no limit. So we need something that's in between, where it's limited enough to say it's a good chance that you're the one that lost it. But just like we're saying by the other Sivanim, a crack in a coin or a certain number of shirts, you lost 5 shirts. Other people might have bought 5 shirts also. It doesn't prove that it's yours. But if you say you lost 5 shirts and he found 5 shirts and it looks like they were placed down there or they were in a bag tied together, so we say that's enough of a reason to return it to this person. And that's a simon for our show as a Veda. So here also, even though someone else might have lost the same thing on the same street, you're not pinpointing the exact area where it was, but it's enough of a it's enough of a reason to return that Aveda to this person. Well, we're trying to isolate each case over here. So we're talking about something that has no simon, it's only one of them. And we're only using makom. You're right. I mean, each one if you have a combination of simon geruas, that won't tell. Yeah, unless it's really compelling to say that this is a good chance that it's yours. It has to get above the level of being simon geruah to something that gives a good opportunity to think it's yours. Okay, so makom is a simon. What's called a makom that we see is a little bit of an issue among the achronim, the contemporary poskim, and the bottom line is to use your common sense. Now there's 3 exceptions to when makom will be a simon. The first one is simple. That's based on what we said last week, and that's if the object fell. If you can see that this object had fallen, it wasn't placed down. So then, just like we said, minyan can be a simon if the person dropped it. Plus, how does he know how many he dropped in this area and how many in that area? So certainly, if the thing fell out of his pocket or it fell off the car, you see it's like crashed. It's not something that was placed down. So makom certainly cannot be a simon there. The Shulchan Aruch passes as many places. He says in Daf Nefil, Harei Shalof, if it fell, you can keep it. The Sma gives an example. He says if you find fruits that are scattered, so that they certainly in the middle of a field, that certainly they fell. So you don't have to announce it because the fruits have no simon, the minion is no simon, the makom's no simon because he doesn't know where he dropped them somewhere. If he knew where he dropped them, he would have picked them up right away. He got home and he lost them. He doesn't know where he dropped them. If they're placed on the side, so then we see he put it down there to rest or to do something, and when he got up he forgot them. So then makom could be a simon. So that's rule number one. It has to be a place where it has to be found in a way that you can see the person placed them there and forgot them, rather than they dropped out of his pocket. And the answer says it's a favorish, but that's pashut. The second exception is what we just learned from the Gemara. It has to be that you found it in a place where people don't walk. But you found it on 45th Street between 13th and 14th, but if you found it in the middle of the street, then it's not going to be a sin. It has to be also on the side where it wasn't kicked around. Because if it's a place where people walk by, there's a good chance it got kicked who knows how far, and therefore that won't be a sin. So Mishpat HaTorah gives examples. If it's on an escalator, on a road, a place where people walk and they can move things, and it's a small object, right, based on what we just learned, it's a small object that can be kicked, so then the makom won't be a simon. If it's a big object, so, you know, it's a coat, right, a coat that doesn't get kicked around so much, so then, even though it might be in a heavily trafficked area, then the makom could be a simon. So exemption number 2 is you have to make sure that this makam is genuine. You have to make sure this makam is secure, that the place where you found it is a place where it was lost, so that when you announce that you found an object, the person, when he claims that he lost it in a certain area, we can assume that that's his coat, because it didn't move around. But if it's something that it's in a place where people go by, and it's a type of object that can be kicked around, like the Gemara's case of small sheaves of grain, so then the makam cannot be a sinner. So those are the first two exceptions. The first one, it has to be that the object was placed down. You have to know that the object was placed down and the owner forgot it, not that it fell out of his pocket. And the second, it has to be found in a place where the item most probably was not kicked around. The third exception, we have to see another Gemara. And it's a very prevalent type of case. Boy mini Rabbi Rav Nachman. Rabbi has to shout it from Nachman. It's a discussion throughout the Gemara. Makam havi simin, Allah havi simin. Is makam a good simin or is not a simin? We have a machlokes, Rav and Rabba. So Rabbi was now asking Rav Nachman, what's the halacha? So Amar Rav Nachman answered, Sinisuha. We have a braisa that proves that makam is not a simin. Because the braisa says, Matzah chavia shal yayin. If you found kegs of wine, the shal shemen, shal tua, oil or grain, shal grogus, dried figs, shal zesim, oil, hare elo shalo, you're allowed to keep them. Now if you think the makam have a simin, the makam is a simin, zichuz makam. You should announce the place. So the way Rashi learns it, announce the place and he'll say what it was that you lost. The way we possibly is you announce what you found and he'll claim the place. Right? These are heavy items. It's a keg of oil, a keg of wine. They don't get kicked around. Even though they all look the same, there's no simon on them. But why don't you say the makam is a simon? Say that the place you found it, that should be the simon. So from that, Rav Nachman proved that makam is not a simon. A place is not a good simon. So Rav Zvid says there's no raya from there. Am Rav Zvid. What are we talking about here? The Ratsa Dinara. We're talking about a riverbank where it's a port, a dock where the boats unload all their goods. Everyone unloads their items from the boats, the barrels of wine and tefillah and oil and olives. It's all unloaded from the boats onto this port. And there's so many things here, we'll see soon what the exact svar is. That's why makam cannot be a sinner. Right, we'll see right now why not. So Amar Amari, or Amari says, well, there's two versions to why, to this Amari. The first version says like this, my time Amar Abanan, Raksa Dinar Lavi Simon. Why is it that Chachamim said that an item found on a riverbank is not a good simon, that the makam can't be a simon there? Damrinalai, because we tell him, just like it happened to you, that you left your items on the riverbank, there could be someone else who left his items over there. Since everyone unloads their cargo from the boats, everyone puts their items there, so you forgot it. But someone else might have forgotten it also there. Malcolm can't be a simon in a place where everyone puts their objects. Ikadami, others learn Ramari in the following way. I will learn it the way Rashi understands it. There are other Rishonim in different ways. When Rashi learns like this, Amar Ramari, Ramari said, my time Amar Rabban and Malkam Lavi Simon. Why does Chacham say Malkam, and Rashi says over here Malkam means the Riksa Dinara? The same case. Why is it that Malkam on a riverbank is not a Simon? Damila, because we tell him, Ki Heichet is Ramali Ridachai Malkam, just like this place is the plate that you happen to put something down, is Shami Nami Lechavrachai Makam. Your friend also put something down in this very place. Like the difference in the Tulashanis is Chai Makam. Just like you wanted this particular place to put your object down, your friend also put his objects in that particular place. And therefore, Makam cannot be a simon. What's the difference between the first Lashon and the second Lashon? The second Lashon, the way Rashi understands it, is saying, even if you pinpoint where on the riverbank did you put it? I put it on the riverbank where at the 10th pole on the dock. So maybe you'll say then Malcolm should be a sinner. Maybe just say I put it on the riverbank, maybe that's not a sinner. But if you pinpoint where it was by the 10th po, then that should be a simon. So according to the first lashon of the Gemara, then it's okay. That'll be a simon. Right? According to the first lashon of the Gemara, the only time we say the riverbank's not a simon, if you say, Jenner, I lost it on the riverbank. So there we say, well, just like you left it on the riverbank, someone else left it on the roots of the Naru on that riverbank. But if you say, I left it by the 10th po, you pinpoint where you lost it, so then that'll be a good simon. The second lashon says, no, even if you say you left it specifically, explicitly pinpointing where you left it by the 10th po, it's still not a simon, because there also we say, just like you left something by, it's not, you don't own that pole. Just like you left it by that 10th pole, maybe someone else also left it by that 10th pole. And according to the second lashon, it won't be a simon, even if you pinpoint where it is, if it's a place where everyone leaves their items. Now, this is passing by the Ramah. And what's this halacha saying? The halacha saying is, why don't we say this by any aveda? How can you, you just wipe out Mokum completely? You just said, well, if you say it's on 45th, you say pretty close where it is, that's a good simon. Why don't we say, well, just like you lost it there, someone else lost it there? We're not saying, so it's just like you lost it there, someone else lost it. Then we wipe out simonim also, just like you lost this thing with this simon, someone else lost it. As long as you have reasonable probability that it belongs to that person, it's good enough. But over here we're talking where people commonly place their items down. Not that just like you drop something there, someone else might have dropped something there. That you don't have to worry about. But if this is a place where everyone puts their items down, they unload the boat, and then they bring their cars along to pick up the items, put them on the car, or the horse and buggy, whatever they're using. So then we could say, since everyone places their items there, it's very likely that more than one person forgot things. People forget things. To say that two people walking down the road dropped the same exact thing in the same spot, the same general area, that's far-fetched. But something where people commonly put their items down, so there we could say, just like you forgot it when you put it there, someone else forgot it when he put it there. Right? That's what the Gemara is saying. The machlokus, what happens if you pinpoint the place? Right, so the Poskim don't really go into that. The Mishmar Aveda says it could be that we could go like the second like the first lashon and say that if you pinpointed the place where it was, even though everyone places things there, maybe it'll be good enough. But to point to the other lashon, even then it won't be good. Now, what's that to do with us? This has to do with all very many cases. This has to do with a telephone booth. Well, not before we get to the telephone booth, let's talk about a coat. Like if you find a coat on a coat rack, or you find an umbrella in an umbrella stand, and there's a simon makom, right? You found it in the coat rack, and announced you found a coat there. It has no simon on the coat. There's no initials. By the way, initials as a name is a good example of a simon in the goof of the object, right? But you found it on the coat rack. And there's no initials, there's no special size, no nothing unusual about it, there's no holes in it, there's no scratches that the person or easily seen that the person will be able to identify it with. But you have a makom. We announced that you found a coat in Northwest Baltimore, and he'll say, yes, I lost it in the Aguda. On the coat rack. So that won't be a simon. Because we'll say, well, just like you left your coat, which is generic, everyone has coats like this, your black hat, just like you left your black hat on the rack over there, someone else put their hat there and also left it over there. A place where everyone places where everyone puts their items down cannot be a simon by definition. If you find a coat, you don't find it on the coat rack, you find it upstairs on a hanging over a chair, so then it'll be a simon. Because not everyone puts their coats on the chair. This is something unusual. They'll say, look, I left it in upstairs base medrash. It was on the chair. This is where I was learning. Or even if he doesn't pinpoint the chair, he says it's in the base medrash. I didn't hang it up. I left it in the base medrash. So then the makom could be a simon. An umbrella in the umbrella stand over there, then you find it over there, then it's no simon because everyone left it in the umbrella stand. But if you say you put it under your seat, you put your rubbers under your chair, not where everyone leaves them, So then, if you find something there, then makom could be a siman. And by the telephone booth, also, what did you find in the telephone booth? It's just like the opposite. If in the telephone booth is certainly should be a good siman. It's a makom, it's not so big, and the makom should be a siman. But what you find, if you find an umbrella there, or you find a coat there, that certainly you should announce it, because they'll say, I lost it in the telephone booth, whether it's an enclosed one or, you know, either kind, because makom's a siman. But if you found one of those telephone cards in there that everyone has and everyone places them there, and just like you left it there, someone else might have left it there, so if you find a telephone card, that won't be, the makom can't be a siman, because that's an item that everyone places in this spot. And there we have the svara, just like you left it there, someone else might have left it there. Money, I'm not sure about. Money, no one uses money anymore, so it could be if you find money there, then maybe the makom could be a siman.
Telephone card had 82 minutes left.
Yeah, so that's not a siman, we said last week, because people don't always know how much is left. Right? So it's like a serial number that people don't pay attention to. Now, if he can pinpoint exactly where it is in the telephone booth, or exactly which hanger it was on the coat rack, which probably can't, but so then we have this shita that holds that even on a ratza denar, even on a riverbank, if you pinpoint it, there's one lashon that says that you can claim it based on that. So those are the rules of makom. Makom is a siman. What type of makom is a siman? How wide an area? We say you have to use your common sense. It can't be Baltimore. It can't be the world. It has to be somewhat limited. The example he gave was 42 Street, 13 to 14. You say you felt lost in a certain building, in Aguda. Most Muslims seem to say that if you say you lost it on the train, the bus, that's confined enough to say to be the makom. And that's called makom. Now, makom will be a siman unless you have one of these three problems. The first one is if the item had clearly fallen, so then makom can be a siman, because the owner has no way of knowing where he lost it to say that the makom will be a siman. If his initials on it, so then we don't care that it fell, because he knows it. He'll claim it. I'll say my initials on it. It's not miyayish. But if it's something that has no siman and he dropped a towel in the mikvah, right, so there, everyone put their towel in the mikvah, and if there's no siman on it, so that's not going to, I'm sorry, we're not up to there yet. So that's the erech nefila, right, it has to be something that didn't fall. Number two, it has to be something that doesn't get kicked around, because it gets kicked around as caution, that won't be a siman. And number three, what I just started saying is, it has to be something, a place where this type of object is not normally placed. A coat on a coat rack won't be a siman, a towel in the mikvah won't be a siman, the telephone card in the telephone won't be a siman, because that's like Ritzah ben Aaron. We say just like you lost it there, someone else might have lost it there. Okay, we say if you really can pinpoint it, maybe that'll help. There's one last case I thought of. I didn't see anyone talk about it, but I was thinking that, I don't know, that if you go to a Jewish library, you take out a book, and you find a $100 bill inside one of the books. So we would say simply, well, it's a single bill, it's not a siman, and by now they know about it, they're miyayish, so you should keep it. But maybe we should say that if they can tell you what book it's in, that should be a siman. That's like a makom. It doesn't have to be unique. A lot of people look at the book. But if you say, I found $100, or you say, you found money, but that would be a good, say, I found a $100 bill. And someone comes to you and says, yes, I took out this book from the library, and it was in, I remember someone gave it to me, and I put it in that book. So I'm not sure, but it seems that should be maybe a siman, because it's not something that fell, it didn't get around, it's not something where not everyone puts money in books, or you know, safer in yeshiva. We'll see maybe next week that yeshivas might have a different reason also. You take a lot of safe and you find a $100 bill in it, it could be that might be a siman. We spoke in the beginning about someone took out from the library and there was an envelope with money in it, written to a certain gemach, and he wanted to know what to do with it, because the gemach that they never got in, there was no siman on it otherwise, and who should own it, the one who found it, or the library. So the library certainly doesn't put the plus to shame of the meres, but it could be it's something that you should announce, because maybe even if the Gemach didn't get the money yet, but the person who had written out the envelope and hadn't delivered it, put it in his thing and he forgot, and if he hears an announcement, he might remember what book he had put it in. And I didn't see everyone, but no one could tell me clearly. But that might be a case where a Malkum could be a sin. So that's the Malkum. Next week we'll briefly pause all the different simanim, and we'll talk about a case where you don't need to have a simanim.